What's up, everyone? You are tuned in to another episode of The Broke Come Up. I'm Marquise.
And this is Marcus.
All right. And we want to thank you guys for tuning in again and for what I'm pretty sure will be another fun and insightful episode. So let's start off, I guess, you know, discussing your week. How's your week been?
Hey, man, my week has been good, man. All of a sudden, it appears that things are kind of ramping up. I have projects all over the place. All of a sudden, I've gone from like 0 to 60. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's a thing of me allocating my time, you know, to make sure that you know, things are getting done. Things are getting done with quality, you know, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's been good, though. I've been definitely occupied, to say the least. What about you?
Same here. Still occupied. But, you know, it's almost like, you know, that saying, if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. Like, right. That's kind of what's been happening. Like, I have a printer, and I've only had a printer for, like, 3 years. And last Friday, it just stopped. Like, it won't print. It keeps saying it has no paper. So I had to spend money to get another printer. And that printer still hasn't arrived yet. So I'm waiting on a printer, and I have stuff I have to print out and ship and all these other things. So, you know, life still goes on and you have to kind of make a way. So, you know, it's just kind of being resilient.
Exactly.
So I think that's all it's taught me is how to be more resilient and reach into my bag of resiliency.
I mean, well, you know, these are quarantine times, you know, so all the Amazons and the distribution services of the world, they're going to be delayed. And, you know, you're going to have those kinds of things going on during this time. So sometimes, and it's crazy too, because sometimes you get your stuff 2 or 3 days before the, you know, the established time that you're supposed to get it.
Right.
And then on the other end, you may not get it till a week or two later. So
it's crazy, man, yeah, with the way things are. I had to, I sent something to my sister in South Carolina, which is only 4 hours away from Atlanta. But then I also sent something to a friend out in Las Vegas, which is clearly all the way across the country. And they received their package faster than my sister. And I'm like, how is that possible? But, you know, I'm like, what are they doing? But, you know, that's, you know, going off on a tangent on some other stuff. You know, but other than that, my week has been okay. You know, I'm already ready for the weekend. It's my birthday weekend.
Oh. So, you know, it's that turn up is coming. time to get litty lit out here. And then that's the thing about what's going on here. So, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of these sanctions and a lot of the lockdown things that have been going on in Atlanta, they're being lifted gradually. Mm-hmm. And you can just kind of feel that dial being turned up, you know,
man, when people are like, traffic is ready to turn back up again. I was stuck in so much traffic today. I started getting frustrated again. My chest started hurting. I'm like, man, I didn't have to deal with this 2 months ago. Now we back here.
They were good times. You know what I'm saying? We've been quarantining and we've been complaining about not being able to go places and stuff, right? But it actually was okay, you know? I mean, no traffic.
Mm-hmm. You can go drive places through Atlanta, drive through all of Atlanta in 15 minutes.
Like, man, stop. You know, you can go and get whatever you need to get done and be back at the crib.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, that was a good time. But, I mean, we're getting back to vintage Atlanta, you know, to say the least.
Yeah, it's getting back there. So, and I think that's going to deal with, I know it will deal with our topic for today, too, which
absolutely
we've titled Friends. How many of us have them? You know, I think this will be great to talk about because we have been quarantined. We have, you know, had a lot of isolation from friends, family, partners, whatever, and how do we move forward with that now? How does it look for going forward? So that's what we're going to dive into today.
Yep.
But first, you know, we have to use our, we've been thinking of names to call the segment, the beginning segment. We called it, because I like gambling, quick hits. We just, you know, you hit it real quick. We probably could call it hit it and quit it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, bro. I was like, hey.
Look at this on the spot. Man, okay. Hit it and quit it. All right, so no longer quick hits. Our new segment, first segment will be called quick hit. I mean, hit it and quit it.
There we go.
Hit it and quit it segment.
There we go.
The hit it and quit it segment for this week is we're going to be talking about Karens and Kevins. And so I had to, do you know now what Karen is and Kevin is?
I mean, you definitely have told me that at this point, you know.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what Karen is, because Karen at this point is not necessarily just a person. Karen is a thing. In this sense, Karen is the lady that uses her privilege, or I'd say, you know, the Caucasian lady that may use her privilege to to get the police on her side or to play the victim. We call it white woman tears. And right. So we're going to talk about Karens and Kevins, because I sent you the story.
Right.
And if those of you who haven't seen it, where the lady was in Central Park and she is being recorded by an African-American male who she charges at him. Actually, she charges at this man and threatens him and then says she's going to call the police because an African-American male is threatening her life. Mm. And that stuff like that really like pisses me off, because of course, it's like when people know those trigger words to use, you know, threatening, you know, African-American male, you know, those things, those are trigger words, especially in today's society.
Right.
Those are trigger words. And so what are your thoughts on Karens?
Well, you know, first of all, let's kind of just lay out what was going on here. You have an African-American male who's, for one, I guess, you know, in the park, for what I understand, he was bird watching.
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's like a director of the Audubon Society, or like the chapter that's in New York. He's pretty much like the black version of Big Bang Theory. Like, he looks like he could. He's very well spoken, but he seemed harmless.
See, and that's my thing about it. Okay, so this man here, he's in here getting and being one with nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably been on quarantine. You know, probably, and not that he didn't do this before, but maybe even more so now that he had more free time to do it, right?
Right.
So he's in there trying to be stress-free and become one with nature in whatever way that he wants.
Well, apparently he also likes, he's not just a bird watcher, and I'm probably misquoting this, but he does something where, like, he loves to feed dogs as well. So, wow. Like, if he sees dogs in the park, he loves to get dog treats. He likes to give them dog treats.
Got you.
So I'm just thinking that is how that entire thing started.
Got
you. He saw the dog, but the dog wasn't on a leash. And no, I'm not going to give your dog a treat.
Right.
If your dog is not on a leash. So he probably, you know, said, you know, put your dog on a leash. And, you know, sometimes when, and I've experienced this a lot, especially with a lot of white people, where they say, hey, you know, they tell us what it is they're not going to do. And, you know, expect us to just kind of go with it because they said so. And correct. They don't have to follow the rules.
Exactly.
And
even to piggyback off that, they are the ones that make the rules. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So everything else is subordinate to that, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you have this situation where you have a guy who probably comes to the park all the time and does that, and then this whole controversial thing, you know, kind of spawns out of that, it to me is still a thing of where we have a more of an underlying thing going on, where it just feels to me that black men, it's open season for us.
It's open season. But you know what I mean? And I want to talk about, you know, quickly in our quick hit report, or hit it and quit it report about the Minneapolis thing. But I want to say, I want to point out too, like the big thing that I think that really got people mad was not just the fact that she used the threatening language and called 911. And then at the end, she's almost like, she's literally hyperventilating, but she was strangling her dog.
Wow.
Like, she did all of that, and she's holding the dog. Like, the dog is, like, clearly, like, not well. Like, he's scared. He's scared,
right.
Or she's scared, but she's yanking the dog by the neck, and people were really outraged by that. And so I think, you know, not to be stereotypical, but if you want to get like everybody involved or everybody angry, white people, black people, do something to an animal.
Yeah.
You know, you can kill us all day long, but, you know, hurt a dog, hurt some animal. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes together to fight for that animal's rights.
Correct.
And correct. So I think that's really kind of what, because people were commenting on that more so than they were commenting on her, you know, faking the tears and the hyperventilating, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And I think we've come to know just our animals, you know, they're a presence for us, you know, for some of us that just, you know, maybe you're not in a relationship. Maybe you are, you know, cats, dogs, whatever, birds, whatever you have in the house. They're just very welcoming. They're comforting. And you're one with nature with that. You know what I'm saying? And during this time, you know, let's not act like people aren't getting back to those things, the peaceful things, that, you know, the more tranquil things, and being able to, you know, be at one with what's going on out here. Definitely.
Right. And then on the flip side of that, with us being peaceful, it wasn't so peaceful down in Minneapolis when, you know, the guy, and I'm pretty sure everybody's seen this now because it's all over social media, all over the news. And those men have been fired. The police officers have been fired.
Yes,
but they were had his knee on his neck. Like, how did you even feel? Like, I'm not a policeman, you know, never trained to be one, but I did have to do restraint training when I was a teacher, and not once did I ever told to put my knee on someone's breathing apparatus, because that's where we get the air goes through there.
Exactly.
So I'm cutting off air at that point. I mean. And the man, you know, we'll never know truly what else happened, because it doesn't warrant. Sure. It doesn't warrant, you know, them doing, you know, killing anyone.
Right.
But just for the fact that they felt that it was necessary to put that much force on someone is kind of just beyond me.
And I really think about it. I say, you know, from the vantage point of whomever who feels like they have to exert that much force in that kind of situation with the cameras on you, duly noted. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, they didn't care about that as well. It's almost like, what do you fear? And why do you have to put that much force in that kind of activity, right? Where you're putting your knee on a man's neck. Like, what kind of fear do you have that puts you in that position that you have to exert that kind of force?
Right.
And that, to me, is something that you see, like you said, in Minneapolis, and you're seeing in these other areas. It, you just feel this air of fear coming up, like a group is losing their grip on the dominancy that they've had for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, oh, well, your time is up. You know what I'm saying? And you just happen to see a representative of that time being, you know, being up. You feel me?
Right.
So then that becomes the culprit there.
Yeah, even this with the cameras on you. This man was being arrested for forgery.
Right.
He was scamming.
Trying to get money.
He was
trying
to get money in quarantine time. He literally got killed for being a scammer. Yeah, and I saw a meme where they put his picture beside, you know, the guy that killed someone.
Yes.
And they said, you know, he killed 9 people in church. Dylan, the guy that killed someone, killed 9 people, and you know, he was arrested peacefully. Like, he was legit walked out of a church.
Exactly.
This man probably tried to write some bad checks or something and lost his whole life.
And this wasn't a violent crime. You see what I'm saying? You got the other guy here, he just walked out of a church instead of, you know,
after killing people. After killing people, like, they're like, hey, come with us.
Right.
Like, this man, and you know, that's what I say, it doesn't excuse, because I'm just going to play devil's advocate, and it still makes it wrong when I'm just playing devil's advocate. But you know, they told him, hey, we need you to stop, not go in, we need you to do this, and he got really loud with them. You know, he talked down to him, he said something. Okay, fine. That's disorderly conduct, you know, what is it, disrespect or whatever.
So,
yeah, you arrest them for that. But when you get to the point where you realize the man is saying, especially in this time, he's saying, I can't breathe. Even if he's lying, why do you continue to put your foot on or your knee on his neck?
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's uncalled for. And to me, it sends a bigger message of there is a prevalent fear out here that is pushing individuals to do these types of things.
Oh, because they, I mean, you know, it's privileged. privilege. You know, you realize, you know, I'm afforded. You've been afforded the luxury of having the law and everything on your side forever.
Correct.
Like, there's never been a time where you have not had the law or rules on your side because you made the rules.
Absolutely.
And now that, you know, rules are changing and other people are starting to make different rules and things like that, things are kind of, it's like a shift. It's a big shift right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw something where, and I, that sticks with me to this day, where they said, you learn the rules so that you can break the rules. And I think now that the rules are being broken, people aren't really comfortable with that. You know, when you see people who are entrepreneurs, that was, and all of a sudden now they're getting their own money and their own success, that's not really the thing. So, but you know, we could have a whole podcast all day. That was gonna be our quick hit. So we just want to hit that and quit it. Hit it and quit it. And we probably will touch on that a little later. But let's actually get into today's topic, because I think this is really going to touch a lot of, not just people in our age group, but people in general, because everybody needs friends. You know, everybody wants to be in some type of relationship. And how does that look going forward now? You know, we've been locked up for 40 days. So how does that look going forward, you know? So I guess my thing is, what are some types? I want to start asking you that. What are some types of friendships and relationships that you see that could possibly be healthy or hurtful that you think a lot of people fall into and probably are going to fall into now?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of variation, you know, going on with that, you know, and I'll say, and I just kind of call myself, I am what you would call an extroverted introvert, you know, so while I love my alone time, I love my solitude and those types of things, there are plenty of times where I get lonely, you know, and I would like to be in the company of other people, you know what I'm saying? So I think that depending upon who you're talking to, that can escalate to different levels. You know, if you're someone who, you know, can kind of sit at the house, you know what I'm saying, and be appreciative of, you know, being able to go out in your backyard, listen to the birds, be in one with nature, as we talked about, you know, then that's something that enriches your life, you know, and it has enriched mine during this quarantine, just in the sense of you get to appreciate that silence. You get to appreciate yourself. You get to now look at yourself straight up in the mirror with whatever issues and whatever challenges that you have, and you're now facing these. Whether you're talking about these with other people or not, these are things that you're facing, you're talking about, you know, within yourself, and then you're moving forward with those. And then those things materialize when you come back to people and when you're talking to them and those types of things, you know what I'm saying? So it can be healthy in that regard. But if it becomes a thing of where, you know, maybe you've left a toxic relationship, or you, or maybe you were quarantined within a toxic relationship, you know what I'm saying? And you're not able to have enough space to kind of process that, you know, or to get through that. Then maybe the next thing becomes, well, I'm out of that toxic relationship.
I was just going to say that. Like, how does someone,
you know what I mean,
that was in a toxic relationship or had a toxic friend? You know, you could be in a toxic relationship or have a toxic friend. How do you, when you're trying to find new friends or new relationships, how do you find something that's not toxic? Because, you know, the thing is, we go to what we're familiar with. And if I'm familiar with toxic people, or if I'm familiar with really loving people, that's what I'm searching for. But if I, you know, so how do I break the cycle?
Well, see, and that's a very good question. I think that because of the fact that we've been in quarantine so long, I think everyone's had to deal with themselves, whether themselves were either by themselves or they were reflected through their partner. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to deal with yourself. And that could have gone a variety of ways. You could have been like, you know what? That I see about myself is not really me. I'm disillusioned about that. You know, it's false. And you continue to kind of do the same things that you've been doing. You know what I'm saying? Or you could have taken the way of saying, well, that's me. And I'm now at a point that I'm ready to improve on myself. I'm ready to develop myself and do things better the next time. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to get beyond some of the mistakes that I've been constantly making.
And you know, I hope what I'm saying? I hope You know, I've seen a lot of that on social media where people are saying, you know, they've had a lot of time to reflect and, you know, they're doing things to better themselves. Because I had, you know, I went through a period of that right when my mom passed, you know, trying to find out who am I, you know, what types of friends, because, you know, those times like that, you know, when you go through dark times, that when you realize who friends are and what be, but then it's like, how do you better yourself after that? Like, do you walk around with a chip on your shoulder and things like that? But I see a lot of people on social media saying, you know, they're going to better themselves. They're going to do that. And I really hope that those things are actually going to happen.
I hear what you're saying, you know, and you know, and to your point, you know, we could talk about someone who has a chip on their shoulder being like, okay, you know, I'm fine, or I look good, I'm intelligent, those kinds of things. And you want to walk in that, you know what I'm saying? But I do think there's a sense of humility that you have to have
with
all of that as well. You know what I'm saying? And I think that the quarantine period kind of gives you that, like, okay, it's time to maybe not talk so much. You know, if you were someone that maybe did a whole lot of talking and maybe there was some inner inquiry that you needed to have to say, okay, oh man, I now see this challenge or these challenges that have maybe I couldn't see because I was so busy in life, because I was so busy with work, because I was so busy trying to reach for this success and all that, when really the core crux of whatever I need to deal with is right here in my face. But I wasn't silent enough to be able to see that for what it was. You know what I'm saying?
That is something, you know, big, I think, in all of us that we have to kind of realize where we are looking deep in ourselves and seeing what is it within us that is causing us to, you know, not have, you know, viable relationships that are long lasting. And also, too, learning that some relationships are not supposed to be long lasting. You know, relationships are supposed to be. You know, some relationships are for, what do they say, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And realizing that, you know, some relationships, you might be in relationships or friendships that were for only a season. And that's okay.
And it's so funny you said that, because like you said, you know, sometimes you're just being prepped for that other person. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's some fires or, you know, some types of challenges that you have to overcome to get you seasoned. You know what I'm saying? To get you developed or hardened within yourself so that whomever it is that you meet, you know what I'm saying? It's a thing of where y'all resonate with and you're able to deal with some of those things a lot better and to allow whatever relationship that comes out of that to matriculate, to develop.
I'm happy you mentioned that. I'm so happy you mentioned that because, you know, for those that are listening, the way this topic came up is because I watch Insecure. Everybody knows I like Insecure. So I feel that particular show relates to a lot of people in my age group. You know, there are people that, you know, this is a friend group, you know, but they have relationships with friends and they go through their ups and downs, trials. And what you just said is exactly, and I'm just going to give this anecdote of what you just said, how it was related to, because I give Marcus the nickname of Lawrence. So, you know, if you're listening, I call him Lawrence now. So he's Lawrence. But what you just said was actually Lawrence. And Issa got mad. Yeah. She, you know, they were dating, but she got really mad because Lawrence really had a glow up. You know, he was basically being prepped to come into, like, the man that I guess he's supposed to be now. He has a job.
Sure.
He got, you know, he was just a stand-up, all-around stand-up guy. Got with this girl who was also a good person too, and she was, you know, a little like, what the hell, you know, like she has put in all this work with this, and then here comes this friend that is not like, oh, here comes this new person that just all of a sudden reaping the benefits. So, you know, as the friend on the receiving end of that, you know how do you move forward from that, you know, because that can cause a bitter person. When you've seen that, you know, you had a friend that you've cultivated and you, you know, helped them grow their business. Right. And all of a sudden that friendship falls apart.
Well, see, and that's the thing we just kind of talked about, you know, in the sense of there's a season for it. You know, you may have points of what we call intersectionality where you are crossing each other, you know, maybe you're in need of the same things. Maybe you're in need of some stability in your life. Maybe you're in need of some camaraderie in a particular way. And then y'all intersect and then y'all are able to bind together within that and grow in that in some sense. But on the other end of that, there may be core pieces of, you know, yourself or whoever your relationship partner is or whatever that are not touched as much as maybe they could have been within that. You know what I'm saying? And as you all develop, it may be where you're developing in opposite ways. And I'm not putting judgment on that, whether that's good or bad. You follow what I'm saying? But I am saying that that happens, and that happens all the time. You know what I'm saying? So oftentimes, like I said, again, it's where you're going through those trials and tribulations. Yeah, you may see yourself with this person. Yeah, you may not. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you all have developed yourself to a level to where whomever it is that you get with, you know, in that sense of saying, you know, till death do us part, that kind of thing, that, you know, that you have gone through enough fire, you know, for you to be stable enough or to be adaptable enough to be with that person, you know. And I just think those kinds of things.
But also learning, you know, being with someone, but then learning how to be by yourself too. You know, that's kind of a big thing, as you know, when having any type of friends, because you know, that was a big issue for like as long as, like, I'm also an introverted extrovert, and you know, so I'm very to my, I'm always to myself, and I like to hang around people, but it was very weird for me when I had friends, and like I wouldn't speak to those friends, or I wouldn't hang around those friends. And you know, I just figured, you know, if you have friends, I was thinking it has to be like TV. What you see on TV, you know, they're going out, they're going to concerts, they're doing all this, they're doing all of that. And it's like, when that doesn't happen, you always feel some type of waste. But then I had to get to a place in my life where I had to say, hey, it's okay sometimes, you know, to be by yourself, to learn more about yourself.
Absolutely.
But you know, also, that friend just may not be in the same, like, you know, you have friends that like certain things. So that friend may not like everything that you like, but you are still able to be a friend. So, you know, you have friends that are in certain sections of your life. You may have a party friend. You may have, you know, a reading friend.
Right.
And, but knowing those types of friends that you have. And that brings me to my next point, because I had to do this, and I want to know your take on this. We kind of talked about it, but I want to know, like, your thoughts. I don't use apps for, like, friends, but, you know, that's big now. People have started doing apps for, or getting on apps during this whole time more for relationships or friendships, whatever. But what I did do, I did join Meetup. And Meetup is this website where you can find like-minded people for all types of activities. If you like to play kickball, there are people that just want to play kickball. If you like to go knitting, you have a group of people that go knitting. Or you like traveling. Whatever it is, they have groups for it, and you can join that group. So you find like-minded people, and you're not, you know, getting so hurt because your friend doesn't want to do this, or somebody stood you up with those things. So I like that. But, and I wonder, how do you think that's going to, with apps and stuff like Meetup, Bumble, Tinder, whatever, how do you think those things are going to look now?
Ooh, wow. Good question. And I think that, you know, you have a population, you know, of people that, I mean, the Tinder and Bumble has just been the same thing. They're just like, okay, we've been meeting folks off, you know, these apps, and we're going to continue to meet them. And that's kind of the, you know, been the way that things have gone. But I think that people who are really interested in having an invested relationship, a deep relationship, you know, with a partner or that kind of thing, I think because of the quarantine, there's been that time to kind of come back from the rigmarole, the modus operandi of life that we knew it as. So they gave us an opportunity to really sit back and really be a lot more contemplative and a lot more reflective about who it is that we're talking to, a lot more thoughtful about the kinds of messages and things that we wanted to send out to people, you know, to get those messages back and have that communication. And I think as a result of that, people have said, and you can look at, you know, various articles about this, that people have had some success, you know, with these.
And
with
that's these surprising apps. To me, honestly, because I told you, know, I told you, I don't.
Yeah.
I personally, I mean, this could probably sound contradictory, but I don't like those apps. Like, I don't like them because I don't feel like you can find genuine people.
I agree. And on some level, I agree with you. And my thing, you know, because I did try it at the time. It was a means of saying, hey, try something different.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Not that that's my go-to. For some people, that is a go-to. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it was like, yeah, you're here. Yes, you know, you like to, you know, meet people or converse with people or interact with people a particular way, face-to-face, whatever. But try something different because you never know. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it was like, yeah, okay. You know, that was... You know, that was cool and, you know, and all of that. And, you know, I kind of hopscotched it. I was, you know, on and off and then on and off and then off again or whatever. But I think that, again, that whole online Tinder, Bumble thing has kind of reconfigured itself based upon the fact that now we've had solitude and time to say, okay, I am now more reflective of who it is that I am or what I want to present. And now I'm going to present that. And then someone else is also thinking the same thing on the other side. You know what I'm saying? So now y'all are meeting and having more genuine conversations about things. You know what I'm saying? And getting beyond the fluff of, oh, okay, I do this, I do that, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And all those things are important. I get it. But when you start talking about partnerships and things like that, there have to be more innate internal, you know, plucks at strings. You know what I'm saying? For folks to resonate with each other. And then to feel like, yeah, this is someone that I can deal with and would like to be with and like to forward myself with in terms of, you know, what can happen? You know, what can happen of this? Can we actually go all the way? Can we actually be couples? Can we actually date? Can we actually be compatible? Can we actually not argue as much?
So do you know think what I'm saying? That, I guess, those apps and things, that's definitely going to be like the new wave because, you know, with social distancing in place, if I can't go anyplace, what do I, you know, and like, you can't you video chat and do all those things with people? So do you think that's just like the new wave now?
I don't think it's completely the new wave. I think that it's a part of the new wave. I think that now people understand.
I'm going to say, should I get like, plenty of fish? Well, should I get me a plenty of fish account?
If it's for you, you understand what I'm saying? But I think that now it becomes more of an integral component of getting to know people. Yes, we're still going to go out and have a good time and, you know, say hello and flirt with people and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. I get that. But I think that now maybe that part of it is now being more integrated, you know, into what we see as this whole social relationship, friendship, interaction thing going on. You know what I'm saying? Right. And some people may have already thought that it was already that. I'm just saying for those who haven't, it now becomes something that you can say, yeah, I can get on that and I can actually find someone worth my time. You know what I'm saying? Something like
that's that. That's interesting to see if it does, you know, go
that. Yeah,
because
I
wonder how many people are like me who, you know, are somewhat against those apps because and how, you know, but if that's kind of, you know, I feel that it is always good to go to a bar, go to out someplace, you know, a nice lounge and, you know, have conversations because, you know, people are putting on, you know, their best face then, but you really get a chance to see,
this is true,
you know, what people have to offer and almost kind of feel their energy. Whereas I can jazz it up over the phone. You know, I can do this a video chat. You know, I'm already making sure I'm watching the angles of how I present, like my body, my face. You know, I'm interested to see, you know, people who feel like me, if this is like, if it starts to go, you know, more towards, you know, meeting people on apps, because, you know, for the longest, I always felt that people who met on apps never stayed together because I've never seen, you know, examples of that. But I do know, I think maybe like two or three people that have met off of apps and they're still married to this day. But I'm like, you know, like as far as like even having friend groups and things, like having those types of things, it's interesting to see if we're going to get to that point. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I hear you. I just think that because we've gone through this quarantine, we now have you're able to sift through the bullshit about a lot of stuff. Like, people aren't willing to bullshit as much.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Like,
you know, so a lot of the things that we've used that you would connotate and say, oh, that's, you know, that's associated with bullshit. Not really.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was more so the phase of time that we were dealing with. Well, again, it was the hustle and bustle. I'm in and out. You know, I don't have a whole lot of time to meet people, so I meet people through this app and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Now you had a time to kind of moonwalk, you know, if you will. You feel me? And then and you're able to now sit down and really be more present in the moment in terms of meeting people and that kind of thing. And I think that's productive. And then to me, that's irrespective of however you meet. You know what I'm saying? Like, people just have challenges. Like, some people, that's all they do is travel for a living.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They legitimately don't have the time. Not that they wouldn't like to, but they're good at their job. They make good money. You know what I'm saying? And they just don't have the opportunity to meet people, you know, in the way that they would like to. So this becomes an outlet for them. So I just think that the time and the phase of the quarantine and the pandemic and all this kind of stuff has kind of set things back in time. I don't want to say back in time, but I guess what I'm saying is in terms of,
like, I get it.
Just where, slowing time where down. Where we did I guess a lot is what more I'm trying like to say. Yes, real genuine interaction. Mm-hmm. And exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know that makes saying? Sense.
And that may not, and oftentimes someone who's very, very busy and on the road and doing things may not have that time to kind of be in a bar and frequent it like that. But they're able to still have an outlet to be able to communicate with people. And I think, like I said, because of this phase of time, it's allowed people to be more genuine and forthcoming and that right. kind of thing. Now, however that happens for people, that's whatever. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone's wherever they're at in terms of their own development, in terms of what they see as right and wrong, and in terms of whatever their motives are, in terms of whatever they want to do, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? But I just feel like it has been productive, you know, on whatever level.
Okay. For sure. That's cool. Yeah. I've seen where, I guess, getting to know yourself is always the productive part. That's the whole point of this today's episode, is knowing yourself.
Absolutely.
So that when you're trying to find the friend or that relationship, that you know who you are first before, you know, if you're that person that likes to travel and get out there, you're not going to try and find somebody that's going to want to stay home or whatever. You know, what works best for you and what best fits you and who you are, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that even then you had expectations about stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? You had an expectation for what kind of person you want to meet. I know that I had my expectations, and I was going to tell you now, my expectations have been blown out of the water
right.
with my experience right now in terms of what I felt like, you know, I wanted to meet or who I wanted to meet and who I have actually met and what kind of experience that I've had with that, you know, to date right now, you know what I'm saying? So I can just tell you from personal experience that this quarantine has been a beautiful time. For me, enable in a sense of me expanding myself, you know what I'm saying, in terms of what I thought I wanted, and I'm pivoting now to things that, yeah, this is what it is right here, you know, just real
right.
talk.
Right. Look, good for you. Look, get out there in the water, Lauren, and figure out what it is you want to do.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I've gotten in the water, but then I'm probably coming back out of it too, just to be honest with you.
But look, my life jacket too tight, so I can't even stay in the water long enough. I gotta get some air. So
I got
it's
you.
Not gonna work for me. You. But yeah, I feel like this is a good you. Place to kind of tie it up. This was really good. One thing I did forget that we didn't talk about was the drink of choice today. What are you drinking?
Hey, I've been sipping this whole time. You know what I'm saying? So today has been Apothic Red. Some of y'all may or may not.
I have no idea.
But it's just it's a nice little wine blend for y'all wine connoisseurs that like that red wine. This Apothic Red is, you know, it's kind of a sweet wine, but it is you know, pretty on the alcohol scale, pretty up there or whatever. So I enjoy it. It's a nice smooth.
Well,
drink, you know, to be
real. I was going to drink tequila today. Mm-hmm. However, comma. that cannot happen because I drank yesterday. And so, you know, I did say my birthday is coming up this weekend, so I have to pace myself because I am not a spring chicken.
This is true.
Anymore.
This is true.
I'm a seasoned hen.
This is true.
And I can't turn up like I used to, so I am drinking good old-fashioned agua.
Oh, H2O. Got it.
Yeah, so I couldn't do it. Now, I may have me a nice little drink on Sunday when my birthday comes, but I don't know right now. Right now, it's just water because after two or three drinks now, the tolerance is a little lower than what it used to be. And I don't feel like going to sit outside for 3 hours because I'm, you know, inebriated. to get air. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I'm just drinking water. But yeah, I appreciate this was really good today. So I hope
it was
that everyone enjoyed today's show and that you got something from it. So please be sure to leave us your feedback. Let us know some things you would like for us to discuss. And as always, you can hit us up by email at thebrokecomeup@gmail.com. Follow us on IG at thebrokecomeup. And as always, we like to say, follow your dreams, dance like no one is watching, and hustle till you can't hustle no more.
All day, every day.
All right.
All right, peace.